Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Shalom, shalom, beloved daughters of Zion. Greetings. I am Sister Ashley. I'll start tonight with Deuteronomy 8:17. Don't think to yourself, my own strength and ability have produced all this prosperity for me. Remember Yahweh your Elohim. He's the one who gives you the strength to be prosperous. And if you do, in fact, forget Yahweh your Elohim and follow other gods by serving them and bowing down to them, I swear to you right now that you will be completely destroyed, just like the nations that Yah is destroying before you. That's exactly how you'll be destroyed, all because you didn't obey Yahweh your Elohim's voice. Hallelujah. I read from the Common English Version. Shalom again and greetings. Bless you. Please give me a sound check if you are in the chat room tonight. I am Sister Ashley, the Isha, or the wife of Deacon Bell. Hallelujah. Servant of Jesus Christ. And I thank you so much for listening and tuning in. Glory. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, please give us a sound check.
Shalom and blessings to you. Sister Ashley, thank you so much for having me on tonight. And blessings to you, daughters of Zion. Thank you for tuning in. I pray that everybody can hear me. It looks like we've got tens rolling into the chat room, so I think we can move forward.
Hallelujah. Glorify the Father for his remnant. It is very few. For the very few men, the very few women, and the very few friends that I have in my life, I glorify my Father. For the mothers that I have, and for your jealousy over me, Most High, I praise you. For holding back your wrath over Israel, I thank you. I'm a witness to shepherd and pastored out life. Hallelujah. And as a wife, I'm thankful for the example of my husband, Deacon Bell's contentment, his commitment, his support for me, my sisters, is only because of my obedience. He's not a liar. He's not a deceiver. He's determined to strive. He is a overcomer. He's self-controlled, a man with no guile. He isn't weakened by me. Hallelujah. I thank the Most High for allowing my shepherd to be a repairer of the breach, to restore ways that have been lost. I thank him for his commitment to me individually and to all the house of Israel. Hallelujah. I thank him I thank our shepherd for his kindness. And with his mistaken identity, he still doesn't defend himself, and that's a really righteous example in my life. He's a defender of the gospel. And you, Pastor, have given me hope, and you've given me a vision. I thank you for that, sir. And a special acknowledgement to Deacon Bell's sons tonight, Zephan, Nehemiah, and Moshe. I love you as I love myself, and I labor to teach you the ways of your fathers and your ancestors. Hallelujah. It's an honor to have you in my life. Mother Jennifer, your acknowledgments.
Hallelujah. I'd like to first acknowledge the Most High Yah for continuing to just keep us, continuing to allow his spirit to be in us, and for allowing his peace to rest and rule and to abide in our hearts. So grateful to belong to a way of truth, to know what the way of truth finally is after searching for it for so many years, not even knowing I was searching. It's an honor to be in this way and to belong to him, to be his possession. I'm so thankful that he leads me and that he guides me by his spirit. I'm so thankful that I am a part of his remnant, and I'm so thankful for his correction, his loving kindness, his commitment towards us, and that he will never, ever break covenant with us, that he's not a man, that he's always true to his word. I'm just honored again to belong to him. I want to acknowledge Elder Rufus, my head. It really is an honor to have such a sound, sane man in such a world where the world doesn't even know what real men are. I'm thankful that his masculinity is never, ever challenged, that he knows who he is. I'm thankful that he understands that his identity is in Yah, that I'm able to watch his walk with the Father, and I'm able to know who I am as a wife by watching his relationship with Yah. And finally, I want to acknowledge Pastor Dow, the only shepherd on this earth that that I have seen really, truly lead the people. Christianity didn't teach us anything at all. I was in Christianity for years. I never knew what true love was. And I'm so thankful to be under a shepherd who takes care of the people. Even in the midst of so many lies being spoken, he truly takes care of the people. He loves the people, never withholds good at all. Even in the midst of, you know, people rejecting the truth, it's an honor to just be under his covering. And our family, Elder Rufus's family, is so grateful for Pastor Dow, for his entire family. So bless you and to your entire family, to Straightway, to those who have been there from the very beginning and who are still there, thank you so much for the examples that you all set every single day. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Beautiful. Well said. Thank you for being an example to us, Mother Jennifer. And there is a Dallas meeting on with the past the acknowledgments. Let's go to the announcements. There's a Dallas meeting coming up August the 22nd. Stay close to us. Stay tuned for many details. You will have to email or communicate if you desire to come. And the email is drybonesawake2020@gmail.com. drybonesawake2020@gmail.com. That's a capital D and a capital B. It's all lowercase. It's all lowercase. Forgive me. I'm going off of my sister Sakina, who's behind me, giving me what I need. All lowercase. Dallas. So I was supposed to bring before you the Be a Blessing list, and I left it in a different location. So that's on me. So I will make a video this week with all the products and supplies that we would request, and we're putting it out early. September 28th is the day that we're asking you do not come before September 28th. That should make it easy for you, easy for us, that you know you will arrive that day or a little after. If you would like to stay later than October 11th, you will have to get permission. So the cutoff dates are September 28th through October 11th. That's the time frame that you would need to make your visit. So anyone traveling maybe from out of country or any special dates or adjustments has to speak directly to Elder Becker. All right, so now that you know your dates, you can take off. You can save up, save your gas money, get your offering together, make your list, get excited. Hallelujah. It will come quickly, and it's always worth travel and the visit. Any announcements from you, Mother Jennifer?
I don't have any announcements. Oh, you know what? I think the last time we talked about Tabernacles, I said that I was unsure if there was going to be a store, and it was confirmed through Mother Carol that there will be a store. So make sure that you save your funds for Be a Blessing, and so that you can buy products from, you know, people who actually make things with their hands. So save your money for that, and also be sure to put money aside so that you can put your offering into the hands of the man of Yah. Please don't leave that out. That is very first, and that's all I have.
Absolutely. What you give to the Most High is first. What you give to the man of Yah is first. Anything after that, which I believe you should know, your support for anyone in that store comes second. And the store was originally open for Carol. That is the reason why we have the store. Others just benefit. They get to bring the things that they make with their hands. So you can find deodorants, things for your hair, things for your beard, things for your body, body oils and soaps. You can find T-shirts. There's a seamstress who will do measurements if you desire a garment. There are chickweed salves and things for your skin for burns or cuts. Hormone tinctures. All sorts of things. And what? Strawberry cheesecake. How can we forget the strawberry cheesecake? Hallelujah. Our bakers. Yes. The Hale family. Bless y'all. So, it's going to be a good show. And I know a lot of times, if you're not in tune with the Father and striving from week to week, and you're just tuning in because there's nothing else to do, a lot of this is going to go right over your head. A lot of this is going to be one of those shows that is going to drop into the spirit of the righteous, and they're going to repent. They're going to get right. They're going to hear from the Father. They're going to be blessed, have favor upon them. Others, not so. But I know just as few as Pastor speaks to, I speak to even fewer. Hallelujah. So, Mother Jennifer, I'm sure we have someone new listening tonight. There's usually 75 listeners on our live show. I know some of you gather in your living rooms or in homes, a few of you, to listen together. But that gives you about how many people are caring about the Most High in this generation of billions of people. And anything from you, Mother Jennifer, about these shows and about our listening audience or even your expectations of fruit?
You know, Sister Ashley, I know there's a lot that goes into this show, and I'm not just talking about the study that goes into it. There's a lifestyle, you know, that you and I are required to actually live. And as a result, we are able to share what we share. And this is not something that we take lightly when we come before you. And so we expect the same thing from you, that as you're listening, that it's not something that you take lightly, that we're not just coming before you with a bunch of empty words that we don't live. And so we have the same expectation of you as well. So this is a show for women, and we're not here to teach men. We are here to teach women, and we teach through the experiences that we have been through. And again, it is not something that it's something that we really take very seriously, because we focus and we take seriously our relationship with the Father. So when you're on this journey and you have decided that you're going to come here tonight and to listen, you've got to understand that you're going to be tested in these areas. You know, how many of you, think about the show last week about masculinity, how many of you were tested in the area of masculinity? How many of you actually passed your test, and how many did not? You know, so really think about that, because you're going to be tested. You truly are. Sister Ashley, even you and I, even after these broadcasts, we are still required to live a certain way. You know, we're not required. We can't just live for ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. And so that's the point I'm trying to get across, if that makes sense. Sister Ashley?
Thank you. Perfect sense. So I'll begin our conversation and our dialogue tonight with the word heritage. Our heritage, or your heritage, I know for most of you it means nothing, because you haven't gained anything in Christ. That's not a personal attack. That's just, you go about day to day with your values and your traditions and your ways, and you don't really apply the Father's understanding in your interactions and in your thoughts. So as you begin to learn Him and you apply them, then His heritage means something to you. So what is His heritage to you? It's your birthright. It's your God-given legacy and inheritance. It's what you were supposed to have. When you were born lacking it, it's not mattered to you, because you didn't experience it being taken away. Let me explain. Your people, provided you are an Israelite, your people had a temple where you could worship, or you could atone for your sins, where you could go for the priest to sacrifice. There were festivals, appointed times of year, that were beautiful, wonderful experiences. There were all sorts of customs amongst your people, from the way they dance, to the way they dress, to how they appear, even in a marriage ceremony. And you would say, well, what were they? I don't know. They were lost. They were taken. So what I do know is what we're able to restore, and what I'm able to witness, what I'm able to see by the Most High's fruit, His favor, His peace upon us, that proves the way that we're walking is restoring that heritage to His people. There were vessels in our temple. They were beautiful. Beautiful vessels, gold, silver, the priest. Their attire was immaculate, admirable, elegant. What other word could you put to it? We had courtyards. everything to the detail, from the curtains to the sides of the where you would stay, where you would be, where you would live, what tribe you were with. Everything. But what happened? What happened? We know what happened. Psalm 79:1. Mother Jennifer, can you go there? Psalm 79:1. I'm going to throw a few quick scriptures at you just to walk you up what has happened so that we can all agree that your mind has been very, very raped and devalued and your heritage has been taken and you don't know the Most High's heritage unless it be presented to you and you commit to it. Psalm 79:1.
Oh, yeah. The heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps.
Could you imagine? You see all the beautiful things I just described, and now you're crying out to the Father saying, Father, the heathen, they've come into your inheritance. Get Daniel 5:2, Mother Jennifer. They've come into your inheritance. They defiled your holy temple. Everything they saw, everything they witnessed, all the beauty. It was gone. It was ravaged, taken by people, armies, other nations. Daniel 5:2.
Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein.
So let's drink out of these cups that once belonged to another people. You know, my father took this from Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar took this. So this is a scriptural reference of our belongings being in someone else's hands, Ezekiel 8:16. So what happens is now our things belong to someone else. Now we're scattered. Right, we're in captivity because of our own ways, our own selves, our own accusations to the Most High, our rejection of Him. And so here's a proof text. What happened? We began to worship something else, someone else. Ezekiel 8:16, go ahead.
And He brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east.
So they worshiped the sun. Okay. Now what I'm getting to tonight is our pleasures, our addictions, our worships, our desires, our lust, Aphrodite, all these things that we talked about tonight. So just have to build your understanding to bring us all into one page. So now you see men are actually worshiping the sun. Where did this come from? Right? This is a belief, a tradition from another nation, another god. He says, you do not bow down to any of the mighty ones. That means there are mighty ones. They do exist. But they are different from the God of the Hebrews. You can even find reference, Matthew 12:5. Let's go Matthew 12:5.
Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?
Have you not known that the Sabbath day was profaned? You know now. Did you not know that you profaned the Sabbath day? Yes, you have. So Jesus even went into the temple. This is Jesus. We're coming all the way up to Matthew. We're coming all the way up to Jesus' days. He went into the temple and he's casting men out saying, you're buying and you're selling. So we got really far from the holy temple of the Most High. Yah. So we know the story. He brought you out of the house of bondage. But what happened when he brought you out of the house of bondage? I'm going to go to a verse real quick. Let me pull this up. As a people, when he brought us out of the land of Egypt, this is what we said. The people spoke against God and against Moses. And they say, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Like, what is this? What is this? Deuteronomy 1:27. You murmured in your tents, and you said, because Yahweh hated us, he's brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. So he brought you out of the house of bondage, but you know what? You know what our people said? They said, our Elohim is a God of oppression. All right, now stop and think about yourself for just a moment. Your daily life. How much things oppress you? How much blame do you put on the Most High? You know, especially if you're new to this and you're having a hard time dressing according to the heritage and custom of our people. We got to wear this. We got to speak this way. We got to change, look like that, say that. Women keep silent. We got to submit. Don't you get all these challenges? I want this, and I want that, and I want my way. That's exactly what Israel did, so they sought out other mighty ones. It's not that complicated. If you want to look into how our people performed idolatrous ways, it was simply wanting to please themselves. When the Most High Yah wouldn't give you what you wanted. So that's why I want to talk about it tonight, because our God, a God of oppression, really? Well, Job lost it all. Jeremiah lost his wife. Moshe was complained about. Many martyrs on behalf of the gospel, right? So now you come this way. And what does the word say? There's pleasure in sin for a season, right? Moshe was committed to suffering with the Most High people. Are you committed to suffer? Are you committed to suffer? Yes, I will wear this because it is my heritage. Yes, I will stand up against my mom and dad and family because it's my heritage. Yes, I will put this on my head. You want power, woman? Wear a head covering. You have power over angels. All the power you want. Jeremiah 17:4, Mother Jennifer. The pastor had done a video, and he and I had not even talked, so it's just the father. And he briefly mentioned the oppression of Rome, sensual, devilish, sexual, sinful Rome, came in, and a lot of the Israelites fled to Greece, okay? And I know for a lot of you, history doesn't matter. History you don't care about. You didn't like school, and it's not interesting. So this spiritual growth, as we reflect on these things, it's not for you. Stay where you're at. We were warned not to mingle because it would change us. That if we compromise, blend with any other nation, marry any other nation, that our hearts would be turned from our Elohim. So we assimilated. We had no power. We had no respect for our culture. We lost it all. So I'm going to go to Deuteronomy. Hold Jeremiah 17:4 for a second. I'm going to chapter 9, verse 4. Once Yahweh, your Elohim, has driven them out before you, who? Other nations, other people, okay? Y'all go with me for a second. Once Yahweh has driven them out before you, don't think to yourself it's because you're righteous. Here's your focus. Don't think you're righteous. It says, don't think to yourself it's because I'm righteous that the Lord brought me in to possess this land. It is instead because of the nation's wickedness that Yah is removing them before you. They're so wicked, I'm removing them. Not, you're so righteous, I'm setting you apart. Okay? That's a good focus. What does he say? Right here it says, verse 13. What a stubborn people they are. Stand back, I'm going to wipe them out. Let me go forward for a second. This is Moshe. This is the golden calf, if you've heard the story. It's not a fable. Moshe's intercessory prayers. So he goes down the mountain while it's blazing with fire because he just had conversation with the Most High. The two covenant tablets were in his two hands. And it was then that I saw how you sinned against Yahweh or Elohim. You made yourself a calf, an idol made of metal. okay? You couldn't wait to turn from the path that Yahweh commanded you. You just couldn't wait. You come to the Father. You love him for a little while, like a drug addiction. And you couldn't wait to return to your ways, but still keep him in your lips. Verse 17. I grabbed the two tables, I threw them down with my own hands, I shattered them while you watched, and I fell before the Lord, as I have done the previous 40 days and 40 nights. All right? This is what Yahweh said, going to chapter 11. This is what Yahweh would do to you. This is the Elohim that we serve. I serve him. Okay? If you completely obey Yahweh's commands that I'm giving you right now, by loving the Lord your God, and by serving him with all your heart and all your being, then he will provide rain for your land at the right time, early rain and late rain, so you can stock up your grain and your wine and your oil. He will also make your fields lush for your livestock. What am I reading? Your heritage. This was your promise. It says, you will eat and be satisfied. Warning, verse 16, watch yourselves. Otherwise, your heart might be led astray. So you stray away, you serve other gods, and you worship them. And then Yahweh's anger would burn against you. And he will close the sky up tight. There won't be any rain, and the ground won't yield any of its crops. You will quickly disappear off of the wonderful land that Yahweh is giving to you. Place these words I'm speaking on your heart and in your very being, and tie them on your hand as a sign, that they should be on your forehead as a symbol. Teach them to your children. We lost all that. All that. So Yah raises up our shepherd. Let's go to Jeremiah 17:4. Before he raises up our shepherd, let's visit the scripture really quick.
And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever.
One more time, Jeremiah 17:4.
And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever.
No, Father, please don't discontinue our heritage. Yes, Son. No, Father, please don't discontinue. Yes, Son. It's too late. You're going to serve your enemies. Please, Father, no. You're going to serve your enemies. I can't imagine the heart's communications by the hundreds or thousands as they may or may not have cried out unto the Father in the circumstances of literally seeing a physical army ravage your home and take from you. If there were any righteous, and of course there was always a remnant, those remnant had to experience the same oppressor and the same captivity because of Israel's rebellion as a whole. So I don't take it lightly when I know that there's a spirit in women resisting the Most High's restoration. It's one thing to detect a spirit that you're up against that you want to be free from and delivered from, and you go after it and you get an overcoming testimony out of it. But it's another thing to go up against a spirit, or the spirit in a woman, or the spirit in a crowd of women, and to be denied when you stand for righteousness. I don't take it lightly, neither should you, when someone comes up against you for obeying your Yah. I haven't forgot you there, Mother Jennifer. I know I've talked a lot, so I want to get your insight after I say this. Deuteronomy 22:5. Mother, please. Deuteronomy 22:5. This was a very simple rule given to our people. It was part of our custom and our heritage. Okay? Read when you're ready.
The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God.
Common English Version 22:5 says, women must not wear men's clothes. Men must not wear women's clothes. Everyone who does such things is detestable to the Lord your God. Remember, it's not because you're righteous that I'm removing these people. It's because they're wicked. When I separate you from these people, I need you to be different. I need you to believe in me, have faith in me, keep these promises, and obey me. Okay? That has not changed. His expectations and requirements forever settled. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Woman, you will not wear men's clothes, and men, you will not wear women's clothes. So, Aphrodite, a Greek god. It's really not even interesting to know any facts about other gods. Yah forbid they even be named on our lips. But because we're so steeped in paganism and cry out for it, trying to hold on to the ways that we've always known, not wanting anything new, not wanting to change. Aphrodite, a Greek god, was portrayed, all right, he was a man. Aphrodite was a male god portrayed as having a female shape and female clothing. Y'all go with me for a second. He had a man's name, he had a beard, but he had a woman's shape. This is disgusting. Okay? Let me pause for a second, since some of you might not believe you're steeped in idolatry. Scandinavian gods, Scandinavian and even German mythology teaches elves, for example. Aren't they everywhere? Aren't they the little strange but powerful, what can I say, creatures that are right by Santa Claus's entire workshop? But the Norsemen, hundreds of years ago, believed they were very powerful. Four of the chief gods of the Norsemen named our English days of the week. Some people say the English days of the week are named after Norse gods. No. The mythology is that Norsemen gods named our days of the week. See their authority? So Tyr, Woden, Thor, and Freya. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We see pagan ritualistic practices in movies. It's nothing to us. You know, when you see a Native American movie and the heart is ripped out of the chest from its captured enemy and they sacrifice it and they hold it up. Yeah, that was a dedication to the Aztec and Mayan god. But we're desensitized. It doesn't bother us, right? We just see it. We don't look at it like it's a thing to their god. We got trouble dressing a certain way and they got no problem in axing a man's heart out and lifting it up to sacrifice to their god, but you can't put a skirt on? I'm just going back to our heritage. So there were tribes hundreds of years ago that believed that there was a certain brotherhood between animals and people. But in America, we got animals everywhere. Animals in our homes, animals on the car, animals in pictures, animal spirits that we see as funny, metaphors we're reading, tossing things back and forth to each other on Facebook and all our social media. But a couple hundred years ago, you were the kindred of an animal to their belief. So if she looks like an animal and she acts like an animal, it's funny. Or what about the Egyptians who said, hey, you know, we're going to decorate the tombs. We're going to make them really nice, you know, throw stuff at them, put some money on them, flowers, so that person that we just buried, so it'll live again. He'll come back to me. She'll come back to me. So I'm going to keep this tomb up real nice, you know. Every year on this day, I'm going to bring another flower, another object. Well, in English, in America, we say, hey, it's just a nice way to honor them, respect them, you know. I love them so much. I'm letting them know that I remember them. But they're no longer around. I'm letting them know that I love them, but they're no longer around. I'm letting them know I remember this day. No. So the last tradition that comes to mind is romance. Romance is a cultural tradition of male pursuit. Whatever it takes to gain the woman, whatever I can do to please her. That's the current tradition. Let's go back to Aphrodite, Mother Jennifer. Aphrodite. He had a beard. He had a man's name, but a female shape. His other name, Fate. You know, like fate would have it. Whatever fate has for you. Whatever Aphrodite has for you. Okay, so they had festivals to worship Aphrodite. You know, like the feast I told you we have that seems so crazy and so foreign to America. It was steeped in our Eastern culture at that time. Many different gods, many different cultures, many different festivals. To go to a festival to worship Aphrodite, there was an impersonator of that god. Okay, so not that we want to visualize it, but you're going into the Aphrodite worship and you see a person imitating the god. Okay, behind that impersonator was a large group of girls mingled with grown men. Because in those festivals, they allowed women to act like men. So they mingled them all together. And in those festivals, the men put on women's clothing, and they played women. So we do a role reversal to worship Aphrodite. I have tons of sites, books, literature, dating as far back as 4th century B.C., accounts to prove this, but we don't think it's disgusting. Israel should, but I don't know where you stand. I don't know where your heart is. Got another one. Aphrodite. So, at one of the festivals, there are torches, okay? These torches give off a very faint light, just enough for people to see as you hold the torch, what's right in front of you. But not enough for anyone out there to see the person with the light. That's not the key point. Key point is lots of laughter arises. Women run along with men, wearing men's shoes and sandals, and wearing garments of strange fashion. For this feast permits women to masquerade as men and permits men to put on women's garb. So when Yah says, Deuteronomy 22:5, women must not wear men's clothes, men must not wear women's clothes, this is the type of behavior that was visual at the time. Can we not say that it's just as visual today? Can we not come out and be separate in these ways? And the key point wasn't even just in dress. It's just in heritage. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, you said a lot. You made a lot of really good points. I wanted to go back to Deuteronomy 22. And, you know, I think that there's so many points that are missed when we look at Deuteronomy 22. You know, when women come this way, and decide that, you know, I'll put the skirt on, I'll put the head cover on, just to honor the people at Straightway. But they don't think about really honoring the Most High Yah first and foremost. You know, you have to have a conviction in your heart that you want to honor him. And when you look at this, you know, and it talks about how when a woman wears that which pertaineth to a man, it is an abomination. Abomination is the word that really stands out to me. So if I'm wearing that which pertaineth to a man, then I'm in the same category as a homosexual, as someone who is choosing to continue to eat unclean. I'm in that same category. And I think we skip over that word as if it's something so light. And this was the thing that really convicted my heart in the beginning when I learned about how a woman should appear, how a woman should dress, you know, the way that she should look. The word abomination is what stood out to me. And I think we gloss over that word as if it's nothing. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah, abominations, exactly. So we had righteous laws that were not bondage. Remember, we came out of the house of bondage. So that's the last thing you want to do is to come over to the Almighty Yahweh and consider him an oppressor. There was a law against rebellious children. 21:18, Deuteronomy. Now, if someone has a consistently stubborn and rebellious child who refuses to listen to their father and mother, even when the parents discipline him, he won't listen to them. The father and the mother will take the son before the elders of that city at its gates. Then they will inform the city's elders, "This son is consistently stubborn and rebellious, refusing to listen to us. What's more is he's wild and he's a drunkard." Then all the people of that town will stone him until he dies. That was our heritage. Now, the laws of this land bind us, the laws of this land is our oppressor, bind us from acting out these laws in the flesh. But why can't my spirit put that same requirement on my son? The answer is, it can. So instead of looking for ways out or justifying your sins and your pleasures by saying it's written or it's not written or we're not living in that time, apply the law. 22:22, Deuteronomy. If a man's found having sex with a woman who's married to someone else, both of them must die. Let's look more into it. If a man is found having sex with a woman who is having sex with someone else, both of them must die. It's not just the key point she's married, it's the key point also that she's already having sex with someone. That's not what we do. So as a woman, when you hop around and you hop around, you're guilty. You would already have died. Okay? So you're coming to a holy way and a holy law where you get a sense of family identity again. You get a sense of values again. You can literally taste and see that Yah is real. But what happened? Well, your ancestors and mine and all of us listening worship the sun or the moon or the stars or the sea or the rain or the soil or nature or trees or men. And you say, you know, idolatry is confusing, Ashley, because we didn't erect anything. I wasn't guilty of it. I didn't see it. I didn't never worship trees or nature. I didn't pray to those things. Okay. So let's get even more personal. You want to be worshipped. You want to be worshipped. That's what we have going on. That's why I bring up Aphrodite. Remember, when our and your mighty Elohim, the creator of the universe, is considered a god of oppression because he chastises those that he loves. And Zechariah 10:4 says that out of our Yah came every oppressor. That's his might. So you can say the God of oppression in context, but he's not the God that oppresses you when you obey. Chastisement's not oppression. It's correction. It's the fulfillment of law. It's his mercy. Isaiah 51 says, "You have forgotten Yahweh, your maker, and you're fearing every day because of the fury of your oppressor. What are you afraid of? Your oppressor. Can't drive here, go there, can't do this, can't do that. Because why? The fury of your oppressor. But you know what Yah says in Isaiah? You're acting as if your oppressor is ready to destroy you. And Yah mocks the fury of the oppressor and says, ha, where is it? Where's the fury of your oppressor compared to me, the Almighty, who tells you how to behave, how to speak, how to live, what to do? Where is all this fury you're running from? And you come on over here to me, you be nonchalant, don't take it serious. So, back to you, Mother Jennifer, your thoughts?
You know, Sister Ashley, this world has really set the people up to fear, to be at ease. Even when you go out, especially right now, when you go out into the world, you know, you can feel the fear of the people. You can feel that people are truly fearful, and it's because they don't know Yah first and foremost. And if you have forgotten Yah, you will fall into that same fear. You know, you will fall into the same fear. So we have to really remember, you know, the word tells us all the time, remember, remember, remember. Why are we always told to remember? Because we forget. You know, we forget him. And we're just like our ancestors. You know, you talked about before how he delivered us out of Egypt. And what did we do when he delivered out of Egypt? You know, we complained and we murmured. And these are the things that we have to acknowledge that are still in us, if they be. You know, we can't just look at at those who have come before us and say, oh, we're nothing like that. We wouldn't do that. You know, we really have to acknowledge the truth about ourselves. We are so, this world has set us up to just want to be at ease. And Yah's ways are the complete opposite of that. He is going to allow you to experience suffering and tribulation to expose what is truly in your heart and to test your love. And the only way that we'll truly have fellowship with him is through suffering. That is the only way that, you know, the idols that you've made of yourself, that's the only way that those things will be torn down. It's not talking about a physical idol that you've built up. You've built up an idol of yourself in your own heart. And the only way that those things are going to be torn down is if you are put in a position where you are no longer at ease. Sister Ashley?
Can you go to Romans 6:19-20? 2 Thessalonians 2:7 says the mystery of iniquity is working. That means currently. The mystery of iniquity is working. Ashley, what's the mystery of iniquity? Well, everyone can discern the earth's iniquity, right? If I tell you, if I ask you, is this right or wrong? You might be able to say, yes, that's right. Yes, that's wrong, right? Maybe you'll be able to discern what's naturally in front of you, whether it be good or evil. But what's the mystery of it? What's the mystery of iniquity? It's the deceit of your own intentions. That's the mystery. Isn't that a mystery to you? Why you do what you do? Why you say what you say? How you ended up in the same place over and over, repeating what you're doing, the mistakes you're making, going after this spirit, that spirit, don't have answers? Isn't that the mystery? Romans 6:19-20.
I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness.
Father, forgive me. I have yielded my members, that's my body, my mind, everything, my hands, my heart, my lips. I've yielded all my members to be a servant to uncleanness and to the iniquity unto iniquity. I've surrendered to the mystery of iniquity that's working. So So what does he say? He offers hope. Even so now, yield your members service to righteousness, unto holiness. Why should it be complicated? Mentally, it's challenging. Because everything your mind has ever known is going to be challenged. But it's just in the mind. So you tell yourself that, it's just my mind. I will yield my members as servants to obey righteousness and holiness. Regardless of what the mind is trying to hinder or trying to present or trying to dig its heels in, I will yield my members, right? Hallelujah. So here's where we go wrong. I got to pull up this article. All right, my sisters, please, please. Though as few of you that will have the ears to hear this, please take notes of some of the idolatry that you've been involved in, okay? So I said sun and moon and stars, right? I said trees, the ocean. All these things are being worshipped in our society. You can type in anything you want to worship in on YouTube, and it'll take you straight to the prayers and the altar that you can build. You can worship Aphrodite. You can pray to her. You can invoke her. I do not suggest it, and please don't even try it. But there's a desire in a woman for romance. Okay? Not me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But if it's you, there are things that you can pray, that you're praying to what you believe is the Almighty, but you're really praying for your own pleasure to be fulfilled. And in that, that is idolatry. Our Yah is not a God of pleasure. We please him, period, plus nothing, okay? Is there pleasure in serving him? Yes. The fulfillment of all joy? Yes. But there's an order, so I hope you can understand me, all right? So in the United States, there's a worship of women. In Israel, there's a worship of women. It's not just the man that worships the woman. It's also you, woman, that worships a woman or self. Because you want to be catered to. You're actually saying, I have to have pleasure. I have to have pleasure. So some of the things that you can pray and be completely out of order about, and here's the mystery of iniquity right here. Here's the deceit. These examples that I'm going to give you of how you can be praying wrong are also prayers that you can offer up to our Father and be right about it. So it's up to your relationship with him for him to give you your own discernment, to show you your own intentions, okay? So some of the things that you can pray and be asking for pleasure is to have fashion advice, to dress a certain way to allure or to be attractive, okay? That's one thing. So you're coming this way, you want to know how to dress. But what's the first thing that's going to show up? What can I dress like to look good? Boom. Sin. All right? What about if you're praying, please help me find true love? Okay? Who are you talking to? To invoke Aphrodite, you pray for true love. To invoke Aphrodite, you also ask for poems and letters and flowers. Romantic advice, how you can sway him, how you can captivate his heart, how you can be his favorite. How about advice on having sex? Asking Aphrodite for advice on having lots of sex, which is just feeding your pleasure. To the pure, all things are pure. What about help getting pregnant? She was also a god that was prayed to. For fertility. So you got to be careful. She was also someone that was sought out for increased pleasure in pleasing someone else. So if you have a husband that you want to please, you want your desires to be right. As Mother Jennifer always says, your motive to be right. What is the intention for wanting to please your husband? Is it to please the Messiah? Or is it wanting to please him to keep him, captivate him, keep him from getting someone else, keep him from leaving, captivate him sexually because you believe that's his weakest point? A man can be guilty of worshiping women by yielding his servants and yielding his members to obey that. If you know that's your husband's weakness, check your motive. You want confidence in the bedroom? You want confidence with your passions? You want lustful nights and hot desires? That's all invoking Aphrodite. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, when I was looking into this today, there was something that really caught my eye. There was a woman that was talking about praying to Aphrodite, and she said that she had been in Christianity, and she said that she has also been in neo-pagan goddess circles where the prayers are just like Christian prayers. They're just like it. So you really have to be wise and understanding and discerning of your own heart when you're going before the Father, just like what Sister Ashley talked about. You know, if you're going with the wrong motive, then you aren't approaching Yah with that prayer. You're actually invoking, the help of Aphrodite, and you've got major problems to deal with if that is what you are doing. Sister Ashley?
She was considered a merciful God because she gave you what you wanted. Isn't that interesting? In Ezekiel 8, you'll find that the women were weeping for Tammuz. I wonder, and I don't have the answer, I wonder, did they know who they were weeping for? I wonder if they knew who they were weeping to, who they were praying to. I would assume with the same kind of spirits that we got today, I would totally assume they believe they were weeping to Yahweh. But they're in the temple weeping for Tammuz. Phoenicians worshipped a local god called Baal. You've read about Baal, right? Some say Baal. He was the god of the soil. He made fruitful soil by bringing rain. You ever prayed for rain? I have. Right? Let me take you back to Deuteronomy 11. This is why we got to be careful with our Most High. What does he say here? I think it's 11. Let me see. He will close the sky up tight. There won't be any rain, and the ground won't yield any crops. You will quickly disappear off of the wonderful land. What happens when he does that? When the sky's tight and it won't rain, and the ground won't yield any crops. We'll just cry out to Baal. Why? Why would we cry out to Baal? Because we're not going to change who we are. We're just going to expect pleasure. You understand? So when you cry out for rain, an example, you cry out for a husband, example, but you want it for pleasure, please tell me you don't believe you're talking to the same mighty Elohim that I am. When you're longing to win a man's heart or to keep him, who is he to you? Your God? Or is he your husband? Your master. All right. I'm going to go to the break. I'll be right back.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah. Jennifer, any thoughts on our pleasures? Let's kick off a good conversation about our pleasures.
You know, Sister Ashley, when we think about the kingdom of Yah, everything is set up for, not for yourself, it is set up to think about someone else. So, you know, the world has shaped us to really look into and to love and to fulfill our own pleasures. But when you look at Yah, it's about somebody else. You know, it's about making sure that you are considering someone else more than yourself, to really know how to love yourself first and foremost. You have to have the proper order so that you can consider and love someone else. But it just shows you how opposed the world is compared to Yah's kingdom. You know, the world teaches you, again, love yourself. It's about self. You know, it's all rooted in self-worship. Make yourself feel good. Buy something for yourself. Do this for yourself. You know, look nice for yourself. It's all about you. And this is why so many women, when they come this way, it's like a rude awakening, because you learn the complete opposite. You know, that you are not your own, that you don't belong to you. You actually belong to Yah. You've been bought. You've been paid for. You know, there's a price paid for you. And so the world does not teach that. And we have to really learn how to unlearn that and come out of self. Sister Ashley?
Very good. Hallelujah. So I don't know if any of you have ever considered your pleasures actually being a addiction, but it really is it's easily capable within your fleshly body to have an addiction to pleasure. And when you're not pleased with something or you're not getting that reward, your spirit or your flesh will kick, you'll complain, you'll murmur. Let me try to explain. So we're in a generation where it was already spoken that we would be haters of men, okay? It doesn't necessarily mean just women, but in general, haters of men. To hate a man is to simply not allow him to function in his capacity, in his God-given right, in his strength, in his skill. And as a woman, hindering him from serving the Father or hindering him from, I don't know, his prayers, his vision, the things, getting in his way, you know, interjecting yourself, demanding things for self and not being balanced in it because, yes, he is your provider. But putting yourself first in his life continually, 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 removing the Most High out of his vision and always putting yourself there. It's as if you have a strong addiction to be pleased. So your pleasure has been very overstimulated because all your life you've been given anything you wanted. And when you didn't like something, you removed yourself from it. And when you didn't like somebody, you removed them from your life and you had no enduring substance about yourself. So you always sought for the next pleasure, right? Whether it was drug or sex or movie or alcohol, etc. And you just feed your flesh. So you lose your value as an individual. You're just giving over, yielding your members, right? And so now when it becomes all about you, your day, your will, what you want, how you want it, everyone else needs to think that same way too. Subconsciously, you're not saying it verbally, but subconsciously to others around you, they know how demanding you are in your environment, that you must be pleased. So you have a desire for pleasure, and if your husband ever met that standard for you and he finds his yah, you lose that pleasure release, that stimulation that you have when you please him. You please him the most. That's Eileen's problem. She believed that she pleased her husband more than anything in his life. And when he proved that she didn't, she couldn't stand. So a crossroad for many women is, if my husband stands up for righteousness and says that he loves this God more than me, where's my pleasure in it? Because you've built your relationship off of the pleasure that you have in his rewards. So what happens? The pleasure fades, and now you increase in resentment. You want him your way. Just not what comes with the package, you know? I want him my way. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to look this way, talk to that one, go here, go there. I want you my way, right? So all the pleasure that you built your foundation and your relationship on is now gone. So when you get no pleasure, you create drama. That's what women do. If I'm not pleased, then I'm going to create drama. I'm going to stir up the pot. I'm going to get something started. I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to express this because this is going on and my environment's not pleasing to me right now. We in this generation have a very strong appetite for pleasure. It is the epitome, the disgusting abomination of flesh being exalted, a stench in our mighty Yah's nostrils, that you would exalt your body, that you would show it off, that you would want someone to look at you to lust, that you would want to seduce a man's mind and make him have a movie of you, that you would be married and consider another man. These are abominations, disgusting. Mother Jennifer?
And you know, Sister Ashley, this is where the sentiment comes from that the world quotes all the time. You know, if mama ain't happy, then nobody's happy. And the woman is putting herself in a position to be worshipped, to be pleased. You know, if she's not happy, then the whole family has to be oppressed. And that is how so many in the world operate. And that's how they raise their daughters. That's how they raise their sons. They raise Jezebel daughters and Ahab's sons. You know, the sons will grow up thinking that it's normal to please the woman, to give the woman everything that she wants. And it's based on a woman's emotion, based on how she feels. If she feels good today, then great. if she doesn't feel good tomorrow, then he's got to figure out what will make her feel good, what will appeal to her lust. And the same thing for the little girls. They're going to do what it takes to appeal to their flesh, and that is how they grow up. And they're going to raise their children the same way. And it's a cycle that continues and really needs to be broken. You know, you've really got to fight against this to be set free once you come into the truth and the knowledge of this. Sister Ashley?
Mothers, have you ever struggled to say no to your children? Sure. But what was your members yielded to? Were they yielded to righteousness, or were they yielded to your soft, wicked heart? If you're not balanced in teaching your child yes and no, then you are training a monster. If you can't say, no, don't touch that, no, don't do that, no, you're not going to watch that, no, you're going to be separate, what are you creating? A pleasure seeker that thrives off of getting yeses and what it wants. Because it takes more effort out of you to train them, pop them, put them in their place in this pecking order, just as the man does to you. It takes a lot from you. And no, it's not your son or daughter's responsibility. It's yours. No, it's not easy. But it can be. We complicate things. We didn't have people in front of us teaching us. Now you do. So whatever your excuse is, lay it at the altar. You're seeking marriage. Let's say it's you. You're seeking marriage. Okay? Are you seeking marriage to be a helpmeet? Or are you seeking a reward? I'll get this out of it. I'll get that out of it. I'm going to get my needs met. I'm going to have my body taken care of. I'm going to get my sexual desire fulfilled. What a whore. And this is the type of speech that we have to present to you at the Straightway Truth Ministry to shock your conscience. And if your actions are driven by reward, you're in the wrong ministry. Well, yes, if we run for our lives, will we be saved from hellfire? Will there be a reward of the kingdom? Absolutely. But not because of something we've done. If my actions are driven just for my reward of heaven, then I'm not ready to see him or meet him. If my actions are driven just to escape what's going on around me, then I'm not ready to see him. There's a ignorant man that does videos against us. I won't say his name, though I would love to accredit him for a word that I'm about to say. I would love to give him credit, but if I say his name, I might have some of you going out trying to find him, and he's a diagnosed schizophrenic idiot. Nevertheless, he used a great word, attention whore. Man, I said, if that don't nail it. Attention whore. Could you call yourself that? If it fit the bill, could you call it? Could you say, yeah, I've had a life devoted to pleasure seeking. I have thrived off of others watching me, my husband seeing me, someone hearing me. It's why I talk. It's why I walk. It's why I'm out there. Okay, so, Mother Jennifer, we're going to go to a clip. Hallelujah. We have one righteous sister that says, yes, I could, from Australia. Glory. We're going to go to Pastor Corey's recent message. I'll play just a few minutes. He was actually speaking about David, but you know we can apply it to our own temptations or sin, okay? I want y'all to give me a sound check as soon as you hear it. At first, he comes in really powerful and loud, and it drops a little bit because of the dynamics of his teaching here. So if it doesn't come across clear, I don't want to continue to, you know, play it. So I'm going to go to about an hour and 38 minutes on Deliver Us from Evil, Part 1. And, again, he's about to bring us into David and Nathan having a dialogue. and David being very quick to say, I have sinned, okay? So y'all please let me know if there's any audio complications, and I will not play it, all right? Here we go.
And Nathan said to Dawood, also, Yahweh has put away your sin. You shall not die. Lest you shall not die. For he killed David. Satan come to kill. Kill. He presented a woman. Even though David was standing for the death sword. See, boy, I listen. I'm trying to tell y'all. I'm trying to tell you. Y'all, you got a pay this prayer, man. Y'all deliver me from evil. We want to go to the kingdom, we do. But evil. But evil. It's set before. Just so we just stumble. Just so we don't get in. And the enemy mock you. For all that you have done, not you. I'd raise you up, I'd gain the house of you. Gave his wives, made you king over Judah and Israel. You wanted something else? Right? You ain't saying nothing? He said, you don't kill. He said, what did he say about the sin? He put his sins away. That means that you're not guilty of it. You're not condemned in it. But still the price for it. I'm not condemning you in it. I ain't killing you. Because I'm going to condemn you. You would have died in your sin. That means that requirement was in your blood. But I'm still pull out the lie. Because I'm going to chastise him that I love. Come on.
Yeah.
Right? See? Yeah. So you want me thinking about this? You want to say evil on this? You don't think about this. You think about your desire. That's why you go ahead. You don't think about this. What caused a man to go past? No, you know the wrath of y'all don't come. But what caused you to go past? You better don't be just saying it today, but you better do something about it.
That's right. Hallelujah.
You better hear it. So look at this. When you see what came on David, it puts you in the mindset to know that we must keep striving to be delivered from the evil that is within us.
When you see what came on David, it puts you in the mindset to know that we must keep striving to be delivered from the evil that is within us. Within us. Brother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, I you said it in the beginning of the show about how Yah did not do this thing because we were righteous. Don't think it's because you're righteous. You know, don't think that you don't have these things dwelling in you. Like Pastor Corey said, we have to continue to strive to be delivered, not that we've arrived at all. So we don't need to have those thoughts that we've got it all together, you know, that the price was paid for us. We can just sit back and kick back with our feet up. No, we have work to do. There's so much work to do, and we have to continue to strive to be delivered, knowing the sin that needs to be purged from us. Sister Ashley?
When Yah takes away your idols, when he destroys your pride, when he molds your character, when he shows you the mirror, is that supposed to feel good? Absolutely not. Should there be pleasure in our flesh in that process? Only by his mercy, only because of his joy, only because of you sharing in his suffering. But we got these feel goods messed up, my sisters. Always seeking to feel good and always expecting someone else to be responsible for it. That's what's so selfish and self-seeking, that you would actually put that off on someone in your environment, like they need to make you feel a certain way. I need to feel good and you make me not feel good. And, you know, the world, psychology and the body has communications receptors, regulations for mood, you know, chemicals, hormones. But most of us, we don't understand that communication. This culture teaches you and trains you to actually accept everything your body feels without putting any form of blame on the way that you think. So if the world says hormones are actually chemicals that are produced by different glands in your body, can we say yes? Yes, hormones are chemicals produced by different glands in your body. Okay, they travel through your bloodstream, correct? Yes. Okay, they are a huge function of your body's processing. They help regulate your mood, is that correct? Yes. Hormones help regulate your mood. And I don't feel good today, and my hormones are messed up. Hold on. Stop. What if I say hormones are messengers? Would you say my messengers are messed up? Because they're delivering my thoughts throughout my body? Stop blaming the hormones. Things can be hormonal, absolutely, but your mind can overrule any of that. I'm proof of it. My life is proof of it, so I don't want to hear excuses. Dopamine, it's a feel-good hormone, right? It releases pleasure. It releases pleasure. Does it feel good to eat? Yes. Feel good to do any other fleshly thing? Yes. But is that feel-good above the Most High and His Spirit and your prayer? In this late hour, are you having feel-goods that mean more to you than him? Serotonin, that's another hormone. Helps you sleep. You having problems with your sleep? You got a serotonin issue. Check your thoughts. You got an appetite issue, digestion issue, a learning disability? Serotonin could be a cause. But we don't mind taking in all the natural responses. We don't mind taking in all the natural excuses. My hormones are messed up. You will not hear me claim that. I bet there is an assistant in the ministry that can say I ever have. Oxytocin, that's another one. It's called the love hormone. You ever heard of it? It's like the one that's present when you're breastfeeding and you have that parent-child bonding going on. It's there also when you have a natural childbirth, if you have experienced that. So this hormone actually promotes your trust and how you bond relationships. And these hormones, these messengers in your body, they are compromised with the traumas and the things that you've been through, most definitely. So it is very real. But if you take responsibility for it and you say, I boost my own mood, I change my own mind, how you think can release them. That's the power of your body's way to heal. Fast. Eat right. Change something, do something different, you know? So I promote a product that this ministry makes that helps your hormones, but I guarantee it won't help your hormones if you're not changing how you think. Mother Jennifer?
Absolutely, Sister Ashley. And, you know, I do talk about that a lot, about you can take a tincture for your hormones. However, you'll know if it's spiritual or not, because if it's something that is truly spiritually rooted and you have not dealt with it at all, then that tincture is not going to help you. That tincture will only take you so far, and then you're forced to actually deal with yourself. You know, you can have all these crutches built up. The world has created so many things to replace all these hormones that Sister Ashley just named, but Yah is not going to be mocked. He's not fooled at all. If you have not dealt with the spiritual, then there's nothing in the natural that you could take that will help you. He's going to remove every single crutch that you've relied on just to get you to see that the only way to get through it is through him. So, you know, we have so many things of comfort that we run to, but the only thing that will truly heal you is him. And we, you know, in this world, we just have not learned how to push past being uncomfortable. You know, when your body hurts, it's easy to want to sit down and just rest. But how many will actually push past that and just keep moving and allowing your body to recover by keeping moving, doing the opposite thing of what your body is telling you to do? How many of us are really seeking the Father as to what spirit we're dealing with, the things that we need to correct spiritually, the things that we need to renounce from our past, you know, the reason why our bodies are in the conditions that they're in now? How many of us are really seeking the Father for that? It's taken years and years for your body to get where it is, and you expect for it to change in a matter of 2 or 3 days. That's just not how it works. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. And I actually, if y'all have any hormonal questions, I always tell sisters to ask Mother Jennifer or Sister Chandra. I know they'll give you a righteous balance, because there are natural things that you need or can take that will greatly help you. I do not deny the power of herbs or medicinal things from the earth for our bodies. But I know that we haven't even spent time reflecting on our own selves and sin and how it influenced us. We've yielded our members to obey the flesh. We've yielded our members to obey the flesh. We've yielded our members to obey the flesh. That's why we're having this dialogue tonight. Obviously, it's whatever the flesh wants. And whatever my flesh wants, I'll expect it out of anyone. Right? Such an addiction to pleasing the flesh. That's what makes it so vile. I can hardly stand it. And believe me, I talk to Yah about it. So there's an interesting aspect to this. I checked out, and this is my last thoughts. I checked out some inserts from people who are actually addicted to drugs. Okay, and there's a lot of self-deception that comes with being addicted to drugs, right? Or being addicted to anything, there's a lot of self-deception. And one of the psychiatrists had said, it was interesting that their stories always change. Like, no drug addict has the same story, right? So what he was saying is the addiction speaks very boldly when it's around its peers. So if you and I are going to smoke crack or roll a tree or do anything together, then we're going to be bold about it. That's the pleasure of sin. But if we're going to go to a counselor for help, here comes our hypocrisy. With the counselor, we're a victim. With our Yah, we need help. With a friend, we're hurt. But back to the drug again, we're bold. And it's that cycle that you see repeat in these drug addicts. This one person testified, that's the love-hate thing that I have with my drug. When I first started, I liked the feeling. Then once I got addicted, I didn't like it. And I always wanted to quit because of the feelings. So it's the dip in the feelings. And what happens when you come to the Father? There's no feel-goods presented to you except his joy. And because you have been overly stimulated by your drug use, by your sensual sexual pleasures, by your pornography, any form of addiction of just literally giving your flesh what it wanted, you have to seek the Holy Spirit and long for your appetite in the Holy Spirit to increase so that he can be more than those things were to you. but he doesn't, he's not a drug, and he's not a movie, and he's not a drink, you know? Some things are for fleshly pleasure within balance, you know, to enjoy a drink or to enjoy a movie, et cetera. But when you're driven by a behavior or a feel-good, what are you really trying to escape from, you know? So I know this is a show that can really, really penetrate you and help you. I know it can, and I know it can offend and upset a lot of others, and that's not who we're trying to gain anyway. We're trying to make serious, committed women come together in unity and stop hindering anything that the Most High would have for his people. Hallelujah. I'm done speaking. Thank you, Mother Jennifer, for listening. Everyone out there tonight, thank you for listening. No, we're not opening up the phone lines. Hallelujah. I wanted to share these last two thoughts. As I said, I'm done speaking. Hold on. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's the temple. That's your heritage. That's his way now. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, provided that you're allowing him to live and dwell in you and that you would yield your members to him, right? And lastly, Yahweh is in his holy temple. Habakkuk 2:20 says, I love this verse, let all the earth keep silence before him. Keep silence. When you're not being pleased, keep silence. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, end the show.
Sister Ashley, you know, your words, you said it the best. You said this show is not to offend or upset anybody. The intent here is to create serious-minded women who are ready to cast off sin and really live a serious life for the Most High Yah. Shalom.
My friend sends me a verse at the end of the show. I'm going to read it. Philippians 3:10 through 14 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already made perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended for Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of Yah in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Press towards the mark. It's going to get even more narrow. Hallelujah. All right, y'all tune in tomorrow night to our beloved shepherd. Stay faithful, stay committed, and keep on praying. We love you, Sister Aya. Shalom.